On the cover is the face of an analog watch. Its hands, in motion, move over the disc of a blinding sun set into the watch face. Centered in both the sun's circle and the cover of the comic is a brilliant gem vibrating with energy. The watch is surrounded by power crackles and is worn on a wrist with a purple sleeve.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring
Crosswind. You know Wind Shear? I'm the gritty reboot.
I'm John Hobb, and I'm just a kid.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Protean City Comics, issue number 88, Old Souls.
When last we left our heroes, we had Crosswind, dejected and broken and slightly burned on a rooftop in the dark. And we have John on the ground, recovering from a serious burn, running away from the scene of the incident.
This is admittedly like the least Ramon has been burned in like a very long time.
Leather
He's been
is
much
really
more
good
burned
for
than
that.
That for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But emotionally, he burned.
Oh, def.
John, where are you headed right now?
I'm going away because I kind of need to like that was a lot. That was a whole lot, one lot. And I need a moment to we did the thing. I made the decision to destroy the time machine by myself without talking to Ramon. He got very mad at me. I didn't really have time to think about it. I kind of was like gonna maybe wait until he had left and then loop back to do it, but because we got caught, I had to do it then, and then he followed me, so I haven't really had time to breathe, so I'm kind of just moving away from him, hoping that I can like put some distance between us so that I can kind of breathe and have a plan. And very specifically, I'm trying to find like a convenience store or a bodega where I can get like a crappy hot dog and put some food in me to like, and then find maybe like some off-brand aloe and a gauzy, like a, maybe a Protean, like I Heart Protean City t-shirt that I can wrap around my arm or whatever is burned on my body, try to heal.
And at this point, the city is starting to wake up. It's approaching like 6 a.m. ish. Certain people are starting to spill out into the city streets. You're going to start getting some weird looks. So as you're kind of making your way towards a bodega to try to get some help, people are looking at you very strangely. It's more attention and more eye contact than you've had in a long time. People Yeah. notice you. People are concerned about you or scared of you. And you notice a couple of people around you motion like they're going to try to help you. One woman in particular on the corner is like, are you okay? She looks like she could be like an evening worker and she's going home for the day. Are you okay? You don't look good. Can I help you?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. And I kind of like put a hand out to like just like keep her away, and I'm gonna try to just move, maybe like sneak down an alleyway or something. I'm also suddenly very aware as people start to move around the city that I am carrying what looks like a rifle with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm gonna like kind of duck into an, like if I can get away from her, I'm gonna duck into an alleyway and start to disassemble it, and it breaks up into smaller parts. And I'm going to pull off what's like what remains of my hoodie and wrap those parts up into like a little like bag or something I can carry, and hope that I look a little bit more normal.
Okay, you can definitely get away from her. She was just a concerned person. So you do that. You run down an alleyway to kind of collect yourself. And Crosswind, what's going on with you on the roof as the sun starting to come up?
So Crosswind just kind of lies there for a little bit, and then gets up like really stiffly. You can see he's moving like really, really poorly. There's a little bit of just like trying to work different muscles and like little flinches of pain for a moment. And then he just starts, like, turns his head towards, back towards the bash and starts, like, trudging back. He eventually ends up, like, hopping down from one of the buildings and, like, sliding down a fire escape to get down onto street level, and is just, like, head down walking through the street to get back home.
So we're going to get a panel of that same warehouse room that you were initially tasked with this whole mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the Striped Eagle is sitting at her desk. Clearly, she has not slept a lot. She was hoping that you would come back and report to her. And since you haven't, she's just kind of waited up all night waiting to hear what happened. The elevator at the end of the hall is going to ding open, and a tall figure in the jacket with the collar upturned is going to be walking towards the desk. When Diablo makes it to the desk, he places his hand on the desk in front of her and says, "They have the watch." And she's going to say, "We need them to work with us. We need my kids back here." And I don't think they're interested in working with us. And to be honest, I'm not quite motivated to work with them. But we may be able to do some things on our own. And she's just exhausted at this point. She throws her head in her hands and just sort of like slumps on the desk. And she's going to say, "Do whatever you have to. I'm tired of fighting this fight alone." I'm going to cut back to Ramon's apartment, but the next morning, it's the same morning, but a few hours later, you've gotten some sleep. There's like probably coffee or something around you, but you've had some time to recharge and think about everything that happened. Where do we find you?
Ramon is in his apartment. The way the panel is lit, you just see like the black outline of him against the sunrise, because he's got like a window that's behind him, and he's got like, he's still in his full costume except for the mask off, and he's like just takes a couple sips of coffee, puts it down, and like reaches down, and we just get like his hand grabbing the mask, and the next panel is just him like jumping out of his window with his cell phone in his hands, texting, "John, you up?" Question mark.
And where do we find John? Are you your home?
No.
In your house?
No.
Where are you?
Remind me what the neighborhood around where this like old Falcon Project building was, that where we had followed
earlier. Striped Eagle too. Okay.
Yeah.
It's in the bash. It's probably a few blocks from where Ramon's apartment is. I'm going to say it's sort of like between the block and the bash. So it was a nice area when Falcon had power. Yeah. And now they don't.
Okay.
Now it's not nice.
John is... I've probably ditched my kind of burnt sweatshirt. And I stopped somewhere to buy like a jacket. A longer, like not like a full trench coat maybe, but like at least a knee length jacket of some sort, and a cheap backpack that I've now stashed the gun pieces in. And I've got like a baseball cap on and some sunglasses to hide my identity. And I'm hanging out outside this building waiting to see if Ignacio is going to leave.
Okay. And you're going to see him. He's going to walk out of the building. And he's going to just start walking out of the bash, and he's headed toward the local bar.
Okay. As soon as he leaves the building, I'm not interested in him. I want to go talk to the Striped Eagle.
Great. So he leaves and heads towards the bar then.
Yeah. And so I'm going to just walk up and push the button on the elevator, just like we did before, and try to go down.
Okay. You totally can do that. She's banking on the fact that nobody wants to go in a derelict building.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of security. There is the scanner in the elevator, but since he just used it, it's open and you can probably get in there pretty easily.
Yeah. I've timed it very closely.
Very well. Yes. Yeah. You make it downstairs. You make it downstairs, and the doors open, and ahead of you, you see Patricia slumped over the desk, and you hear soft crying, soft sobs coming from the lump on the desk.
From the far side of this warehouse. Like, I'm just like walking out slowly from the elevator doors. And if I remember, there was like a little bit of a, there was like a room that probably had like desks and boxes and all the
all
like
kinds displaced of stuff
from
yes.
people. And so her room was like on the far side of this big room. And I can kind of hear her over there. And John is just going to yell out, Mrs. Arden.
And she's going to pick her head up like suddenly, but she's got like mascara running down her face and she's exhausted and distraught. But she looks up immediately and locks eyes with you.
You see, he continues to call out to her. Hey, Striped Eagle.
What?
What are you doing down here?
Having a moment.
I can see that. I'm sorry. I busted in here real hot. I'm regretting it a little bit.
Did you come to gloat?
No. No. No.
Are you going to help me?
John is going to sit down in a chair, I think. I think he's going to sit down in a chair.
Whoa.
But he's going to put his feet up on the desk.
Okay.
He drops the backpack and he's kind of like leaning over it. Like he's not sitting. Okay, so let me clarify. He's not sitting in the chair the normal way, of course. He's sitting in the chair like the opposite, like perpendicular to the way you're supposed to sit in a chair. So he's got his legs over the sides and he's got his feet up on the desk and he's kind of like leaning back, stretching his back over the other arm, kind of looking at this woman upside down. And he's just gonna say, I have a mission for you.
For me.
For you.
Well, what?
Well, the city's in danger.
And?
You're a hero.
Not
Go
anymore.
Go save it. You're not couldn't a hero anymore? Why aren't you a hero anymore?
Couldn't even save my kids. I can't even figure this out. And you don't want to help me.
I'll help you.
What do you want me to do?
Somewhere. John, like, swirls. He starts to talk, and then he just, like, stops and swirls, spins around in this chair. And he's, like, leaning forward. Elbows on the desk, and he kind of gets like his face is like weirdly close to hers, and he's like, somewhere out in this city, in our city, well, my city, but in a version of your city, in Protean City, there's a device that destroys universes, the device that killed your children, that destroyed your world, and you're just sitting here like it's not out there. Maybe someone's gonna use it to destroy this one.
I heard that you yeah. had it.
Well, I mean, Ramon's got it, but it's safe for now. For now.
You think he's going to destroy the world with it?
No. I think he probably can't destroy it, though. And I think that you can.
So what do you propose I do? Ask him for it nicely? I feel this will go poorly.
John's going to stand up. And kind of like put his hands behind his back and start pacing back and forth in front of the desk. You do what the Striped Eagle does. You gather your resources. You think things through. You look like you've got some stuff here. How come you don't have a team? How come you don't have agents? I studied you in school. It's really, frankly, kind of weird that you're here. Like, you built Falcon from nothing to protect this city.
I built Falcon from nothing, and Falcon was demolished by a bunch of kids. It turned into something I never anticipated, and now it's nothing. I have nothing. I have no resources. I have no team.
Falcon was destroyed by bureaucracy and some assholes well before we killed it. And so
to answer your question, John, I don't have anything at my disposal. I have nothing. I have no connections. I have no one that wants to work with me. I have no useful contacts. I have nothing.
And John is going to like whip around and face her and slam his hands down on his desk and say, you're a hero. And when heroes have nothing, that's when they do their best work.
Roll to provoke her.
I actually think that I'm doing one of my other moves.
Okay, go nuts.
Which is when I demand an NPC live up to a higher moral code.
Ooh.
I get to roll plus savior. That's a 5, 9, 10, 11.
So what happens?
On a hit, they have to meet my standards or mark a condition. On a 10 plus, I take influence over them as well.
Okay, so you're asking her to what? Go get the watch from Ramon and break it?
I'm asking her to, like, I'm basically saying, stop hiding down here in this basement, suit the fuck up, and let's go destroy this thing. Like, I don't think that, like, he or I can do this by ourselves, but I bet that she can, just because she's okay. An adult hero.
And she might already know how to destroy
it. And she might already know how, is kind of what I'm banking on.
And she's going to hear you sit up straight, take a big with her sleeve and wipe all the snot off her face. It's very regal. And stand up. Where is he?
So the next panel just shows him like lying on top of a building with like one leg dangling off and the other like just sort of set up like triangle style. And he's got his phone in front of his face. And we just have like a stream of texts with like a ton of misspellings and like no abbreviations or anything like that of just him trying to get John's attention. And it's like, John, you up? Hey, you up? John. John! !! !! Hey, I was thinking, what if we went and talked to the Striped Eagle? We should talk to the Striped Eagle. !! Outgoing call to John. Outgoing call to John. Outgoing call to John. John! !! ... And it's just like him texting like a passive-aggressive parent to John, like, all day. Just for the entire conversation that he was down there talking with Striped Eagle.
Yeah. So you're on a roof right now?
Yeah.
So while you're texting and calling and texting and calling and you're focused on your phone, if you had just looked down, John and Patricia, who is now in her old school original uniform.
Yes.
From your universe. So she's got the white... what did we say? It's a blue, like, one onesie with an eagle on the front and a white and red striped cape and a gold belt buckle and gold boots and, like, a huge, like, cowl thing. It's very like regal like looking. Cape. Yes.
Just, like, the most golden age.
The most super. And they're down standing on the ground just looking up at you, staring at your phone. And there's going to be a speech bubble from Striped Eagle to John. Is he always on his phone?
And John, you would think that someone who didn't grow up with phones wouldn't nearly spend so much time on their cell phone, but yeah, it's weird.
This is character assassination.
Will you call him or something?
Yeah, sure. And John is just going to yell out, "Hey, Ramon!"
And Crosswind just, like jolts and, like, practically falls off the building before looking down and just does, like, the standard fall to three-point stance. Hey, I was thinking we'd do this, actually.
Hello.
Do what?
Talk to her.
Oh, I did and that.
And he's, like, just, like, pointing a thumb towards Striped Eagle.
I hear we have some work to do. Do you have the item?
And Crosswind's head just, like, turns towards John as though, like, waiting for confirmation. He's also not subtle at all, though. So I think he actually, like, moves his one of his hands behind his back because he just has it strapped to his wrist underneath the leathers at this point. He's trying to give, like, a can we trust her?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Oh, you know what? Can I pierce your mask?
Me? Yeah.
Yeah, I want to pierce your mask.
Ooh.
Do it.
I'd like to do that. I'm not going to.
What happened?
I mark potential because I rolled a 4.
Oh, no.
Okay, and so what did it look like as you were trying to pierce this mask? Was it like serious eyebrow action or like...
no eyebrows, because mask.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's like Crosswind just like... turns towards John and kind of just like leans his head forward and sort of like quirks his head to the side. Like he's trying to get some kind of an indication from him and also like understand what's going on. And he's just not doing either of those things right now.
While your attention is on John and you're trying to be subtle, looking at him and not eyebrow actioning at him because mask, she's just going to reach out and grab the shiny thing off of your very black leather costume and pull it away from you. So she's going to take the watch from you, look at it and say, any ideas on how to get rid of it?
John is going to just pull out his cell phone because he's just like he's a normal person wearing normal clothes. And so he has pockets and a backpack and he pulls out the phone and just like turns on the phone app and points it at her. And he's just like, can you just crush it? Can you crush it?
Like she's going to try.
Strength, right? And he's taking a video of this.
You're taking a video of it?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Is this a photo? And she like poses with the thing. And what are you doing?
He's like, no. Try to crush it. I just want to.
So she's going to put it between her hands and like push and nothing happens. And she's going to like put it on the ground and stomp on it. And nothing. There's a dent in the ground, but the watch is fine.
Oh, well, it was worth a shot. At least I got a cool video.
Can I see? Is there filters?
How do you even know?
How do you know what filters are?
I've been here. What have you been doing?
John's going to put the phone away. John is going to turn around and get a selfie of the three of them together. But it's definitely like centered on him and the Striped Eagle. And Ramon is like off to one side.
And Striped Eagle was not paying attention. And she's got one eye half closed. And
absolutely.
It's not flattering.
But it's a great picture. John loves it. He's and a big after, Striped Eagle fan.
And after that, she's going to bend down and pick up the watch and examine it. And it's still perfect. The gold is not cracked. The screen is, or the glass is clear. It's perfect.
Okay. So, Striped Eagle, what are we doing? What are we doing? How are you gonna? What's our plan? We gotta have a plan. How can we destroy this thing?
Well, in my opinion, if it can't be crushed or broken, it needs to be taken apart in another way. Do we know any scientists, magicians, potions masters, alchemists?
Grab it from her and start looking at it.
Sure.
I want to see if there's any, like, it's a digital watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any, like, seams or anywhere that it looks like I could pry, like, a faceplate off? Is there anywhere I can plug it in?
It has a normal, like, faceplate. Like, the glass is kind of set into the metal in a similar way, but you're not going to be able to pry it off.
Okay. I mean, we have a friend who does tech stuff, but he's more about, like, kind of making stuff than destroying stuff, usually. He's got some siblings, but I think they're out of town.
Well, has he tried destroying things? Maybe he's quite good at it.
I don't know. I never asked.
Interesting. Maybe we should.
I mean, we killed a god once, but, and then
that
he, like,
seems like
he,
something like, worth mentioning.
He turns and, looks at the spire, and he's like, well, we didn't really, like, I guess, destroy it, like, for good, though, so. Let's not go there. Let's not, definitely, no. Never mind. Forget I said anything about that. Let's find a different way.
You said mechanists, right?
Sure.
You used a fancy word, but, like, mechanists.
I think I said alchemists, which are different, but I like your word, too.
What about, the mouse doctor?
The mouse doctor? You mean.
A doctor that works on mice? A veterinarian?
I know what a veterinarian is.
Dr. Morris! Yeah!
How could a veterinarian be helpful in this situation?
No, she's not.
She's not a veterinarian.
She's not a veterinarian. She is a mouse.
And she makes giant robots made out of tiny, tiny, tiny pieces.
And she's just standing there looking at you two like you have six heads. I don't follow.
She makes giant robots out of tiny pieces.
A mouse does.
Like normal-sized robots. They're just big compared to her, because she's small.
Big compared to me?
Well, you're kind of short, too. It's a whole different thing.
We are getting off topic. Where is this mouse?
Oh. The university that we trashed.
Yeah.
Maybe I could be of some help.
I mean, you are the damn striped eagle.
You can probably just walk in.
And she's going to, like, look kind of to the sky, and there's, like, this that heroic, like, half profile of her, like, looking up, and her hands are on her hips with the cape flying, and she's like, I am the damn striped eagle. And then the next panel is going to be the front of Protean City University, and it's Striped Eagle walking in, cape flying, with you two bozos following behind her in your leather strappy costume. And John, what are you wearing? Still just a hoodie?
It's a jacket with like it's the knee length jacket with kind of like a high collar, and the hat and sunglasses to like hide who he is.
And we're definitely like straight up Guardians of the Galaxy down the hallway with like her in the front and each of us on either side.
Yeah, you brought reinforcements. So you're walking down the hallway towards the office of Dr. Sybil Morris, who is a mouse who is responsible for things like TRIP, what does TRIP stand for? Tactical
Rapid Integration Protocol.
Mm-hmm. Who has had some difficult times, but he's mostly a good robot.
He got hacked by my mom. Let's not talk about that.
And
the editor's box on this comic is so big.
So big. Yeah. It wraps around the side of the page. And she's just going to like literally push the door open and it's going to thwap against the wall. And she's going to stand there very heroically with her hands on her hips. Like that's a thing that she can do. Because in her town, heroes are still like kind of not run of the mill. There's not mm-hmm. many of them and people get impressed easily. Here, maybe not so much. So she's going to bang open the door, put her hands on her hips, stand powerfully and say, I demand to speak to the mouse with the robots.
Can there be a class in the room?
Absolutely. And behind her is a class full of students.
So Crosswind kind of like steps in next to her and kind of like sneaks in the doorway and holds up a hand and just is like, this is it's pretty serious hero business. Don't worry about it. Hey, Dr. Morris, we're friends of Sokotoa.
Who are you? She's never seen you before.
No, I don't think she's seen Black either S&M of us in this
she
setup.
She might have seen she's me before.
Yeah.
But not a
but
lot.
Not like
and
this.
Not, I was in costume at the time, so.
Yeah. Okay.
We have the Striped Eagle here back from the past, and we need to destroy a thing that will destroy that could potentially destroy our world. And it would be really great if all of the students here could leave so we could talk to Dr. Morris and maybe save everything.
And we're like all in costume. Like you can tell this is serious business. We wouldn't be just like waltzing into a classroom.
John is not in a costume.
You're kind of in a costume. You've got like a long coat thing, right?
This whole thing sunglasses. Is happening live.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not in a costume. No, you are in a costume.
No, it's just like a hat and sunglasses. Like, this isn't my costume. I don't have a costume.
Yeah, you wouldn't wear that hat and sunglasses if we were going to Dynamite Jack's just to, like, have, like, a milkshake.
Yeah, but we didn't, like, break into Dynamite Jack's and try to destroy, and I didn't destroy stuff there.
Oh my god, shut up.
If I destroyed If I destroyed Jack's milkshake machine, I would go back the next day wearing a hat and sunglasses.
If you destroyed Jack's milkshake machine, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't make it through the night.
All right, that's fair. I would never destroy Jack's milkshake.
You hear a foghorn go off. It's like, really, really loud. And you look towards the front of the classroom where Dr. Morris has climbed on top of a foghorn type, what are those things? Megaphone.
An air horn?
Yeah, it's a megaphone with like the button on it. And she's literally sitting on the button on the top of the megaphone, just waiting for you to stop. And when you turn to her and shut up, she climbs down off the megaphone, addresses her class, and says, okay, class, I will see you next week. Please work on chapter 27 and have your papers ready for grading. Thank you so much. And class is dismissed. And everybody's going to get up and sort of slowly walk out of the room. Some people look at you kind of funny. A couple people try to touch the leather straps that are hanging off of your costume just because it's just too tempting. They're just everywhere.
And Crosswind is just like flinching hard.
And you hear some, you know, comments about dorky superheroes and cosplay, and they walk out.
No respect, kids these days. Yeah. God, I'm starting to sound like me.
Although he's on their phones.
What you weren't can I answering. Help you with?
Hi, Doctor. I'm Crosswind. I'm Windshear, but younger and
angrier.
Better.
Angrier.
No, he's a... I'm trying to do the heroic... Listen, this is Striped Eagle. From my world. We're from a different world.
And I'm John.
The two of us. That's John.
I'm just a kid.
We're friends with Sokotoa. And my world ended. And we have this watch. And if we destroy the watch, we can go back in time and save my world before it ended.
Or maybe... just destroying the watch already does that? Kind of not super clear on how time works.
We're working on that part.
Yeah, we'll have to at least go check.
But destroying the watch is step one, no matter what.
And also, this is Striped Eagle.
This is Striped Eagle. Yes, she's got super strength and flight, not like yours.
You've mentioned...
not that there's anything...
Nice to meet you. Can you help us with this? And she's going to lay down the watch on the desk next to Dr. Morris. And Dr. Morris is going to put on her baby teeny tiny glasses that are really cute. They're like half glasses anyway, so God, they're tiny. They're like Barbie glasses.
Oh, she got new glasses.
Yes.
She used to have the Coke bottle ones.
Mm,
Much sleeker.
These are her like
teaching
close
glasses.
Work glasses.
Nice.
So she's gonna look.
She has two different sets of glasses.
She's super.
Can you imagine if she misplaces one? So she's gonna look really closely at the mechanism and sort of get two arms under the thing and try to flip it over. A little help here.
Flip.
I see. We're going to need to relocate. Would somebody mind carrying this for me?
Not at all, Doc.
And she's going to step off the desk onto a little hover platform that she has for just this reason, so that she's not walking on the ground ready to get stepped on.
And Ramon had already gotten down onto one knee and put out his arm like a gentleman to like
you
carry
could ride
her on
her,
it.
Or she could ride you.
Yeah, but whoa. And then has to like awkwardly like step back up as though that wasn't what he was doing.
And she's just going to straight up ignore it because she's used to being underestimated and not taken seriously. But she's beyond that. And she's going to use her little hover pad to work her way towards the front of the room and out the front door. You can follow me. She's going to make her way down the hallway to her own lab. She's going to hover down the hallway and towards an area of the school that you know all too well because you were literally just there and wrecked it. I'm sorry. She pulls up to a storage room with a shattered glass door. She opens the door and looks in, and it is just a disaster in there. It's like a war zone.
God, who made this mess?
Oh, my.
I think someone broke into your lab.
It looks like we need to get better security.
Yeah.
John did this.
What?
John did this. He tried to break the time machine.
I did break the time
machine. You broke the time machine.
I broke the time machine. You didn't have to tell her that, though.
Yeah, well, you
quiet.
Take...
Will you both be quiet? You're acting like a bunch of children. Ramon, I expect better of you. And
Sorry, ma'am.
Dr. Morris is not involved in your nonsense. So... she zooms in past the chaos towards the back of the room in a corner. Under a tarp is an old piece of tech. It's sort of a time bubbly thing. Mm. It hasn't been started in a while, but I think I can get it.
It's Amari's
here.
Old, Dr. Amari's old temporal accelerator.
Yes, and if I'm not mistaken, we may be able to utilize this. And she's going to look around and find the plug. She's literally looking to plug this into the wall. Could one of you please assist me? This needs to be plugged into the wall.
John will definitely, like, dive for the plug and plug it in.
and it's going to start to like whir to life. And as it does, it sort of opens up like a projector would, where the light starts to flicker and it starts to project this bubble above it. And then the bubble starts to expand and push out all the crap and debris that's around it and make this big bubble inside it.
Crosswind is in fighting stance.
And Striped Eagle is also in fighting stance. The two of you are exactly the same in this moment. Like, what nice. Is this? Might have to fight it.
No, guys, it's supposed to do this. It's a like a temporal bubble.
Oh, Ramon looks to John and goes, what do I do with it?
And John looks to Dr. Morris and says, what do we do with it?
Well, I'm about to do some tinkering. Give me 1 second. And she'll put her other glasses back on, and the little half glasses hang on a chain on her neck as she starts to type on her little tiny keyboard. And she has robotic arms that are attached to her baby keyboard that type on the big keyboard for her so that she can type on her little keyboard more comfortably.
So she can type on any keyboard, yeah?
Correct. So yeah. She's working on her little keyboard. And I think I've got it. Okay, let's try this. And she's going to motion for you to put the watch in the bubble. Just toss it in there.
Like, harder?
Just into the bubble, not past it. You're not trying to break it. Just get it in that bubble.
Got it. And actually, I've got a move that kind of might kick in at this point.
Sure.
When I ask, what's this thing? When you ask for someone else's guidance on the modern world, they must tell you what they think you should do or how you should act. If you act that way, clear a condition and shift mundane up and any other label down. If
totally.
You act that way and it goes poorly, mark potential. So like, I think that kind of probably applies like sort of throughout this. Like,
for sure.
Putting it down is nothing. But like, he's ready to like act as, to, like do what she says.
Okay.
For now, at least.
So yeah, he kind of like, are you able to toss it in there?
Yeah. Tosses it in. Definitely nervous, but tosses it in.
And once it enters the bubble, it's suspended sort of in the center, and it starts to slow. You can hear the ticking, and the readers will see like a tick, tick, tick. And then the ticking starts to slow down, and then it just stops. And then it breaks. And as it breaks apart, you see each piece sort of lined up neatly in order inside the bubble, as if it just had been taken apart piece by piece, and they're all laying parallel next to each other. And you see like the watch strap and the encasing, and then the internal gears and mechanisms, and the front of the watch, the glass, all inside the bubble. Do you see anything that shouldn't be there?
Yeah, all of it. We gotta break it. Can you?
Do you not see what I see?
No, no, Doc.
No.
This is beyond me.
Maybe
last time I wore a watch, you had to wind it.
Maybe if I turn it a little bit, and she turns it so that you can see sort of, instead of the profile view of the internal mechanism, you see it facing you a little bit more. And there is a sparkly, purple, shiny bit of something inside the mechanism that's probably the size of a pencil point. It's very slim, but it's there.
The hell is that?
Looks doesn't like a... look like a watch.
No, it doesn't.
Got like a diamond or something inside it, like a really tiny one.
Do you want me to take it?
If you stick your hand in there, you will de-age, so I wouldn't recommend it.
Do it. Do it.
No, I don't want to. I can,
do it.
I've got
do it.
My wind do it. Powers. I can
do it. Put your hand in there.
Pull it out.
I dare you.
From, do you want me to try that?
I dare you to put your hand in there.
I'm not going to put my hand in there.
That way you could be 10. And then in 10 years, when we get another time machine, you'll go back to your wife the right age. It'll be perfect. Do it.
I'll be 9, but no.
Honestly, you two exhaust me. And she's just going to stick her hand in and grab just the mechanism part and pull it out. And she pulls out this very young hand She did it super fast because she has super speed. So she reached in, pulled it out, and she probably de-aged her hand like 10 years, but she was in her 40s, so it doesn't look all that different.
It's just her hand.
It's just her hand.
Okay.
Yeah, she just reached in. And so her hand looks remarkably like less wrinkly than the other one. But I mean, 40 to 30.
40 to 30.
Yeah.
Not that bad. She opens her hand and she has the entire mechanism gear part of the watch with the crystal in it.
Can you crush that now? And he pulls out his cell phone again.
And she tries and she squeezes it. No.
Damn it. Would you just like crush something later? I'd love. I swear this is not like a weird thing. I just like, you're the striped eagle. That's like.
John. This feels like a weird thing.
I'm sorry. I'm not really trying not to make it a weird thing. I just
if you don't stop, I'm going to crush you.
No, definitely not. That's not
okay.
What
that I gotta see. And he takes out his phone and he puts it in selfie view and like is trying to figure out how to film forward.
And
like, turns the phone around.
The striped eagle holds her palm out to Dr. Morris so that Dr. Morris can see into it. And Dr. Morris is able, with her hands, to just kind of reach in and finagle this little purple thing out of the watch.
Is it safe to touch?
Yes, it appears to be. It appears to be a fragment of some kind. Mm. It looks like when it's separated from this mechanism, it is not able to do damage.
That's good. That's what we wanted.
But I believe this is the source that you are looking for, and you will have to destroy it, but I'm not sure how to help you.
And she holds out her little hands, like, cupped around this little pinprick of a thing, out to hold it out to whoever wants to take it.
John will take it.
And she's just going to empty it out in your hand, and when she turns off the machine, the watch pieces just fall to the floor. They are just broken pieces of an otherwise very normal-looking watch. And
will that be all today, gentlemen? Miss?
John's just going to look over at Ramon and just like look down at his hand and the crystal and just be like, I have pockets. That's all.
Yeah, please. I'm going to have pouches soon. If you don't mind, I might take it later.
And Dr. Morris is just going to zoom up to the striped eagle and hold out a hand to shake her hand.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
And she's just going to like shake her finger. Likewise. Thank you for your assistance.
Sure. Please shut the door behind you. We don't want anyone else getting in here to trash the place.
And she's going to hover out of the room.
Ramon goes and picks up the strap of the watch. And just sort of picks it up and looks at it and tucks it into sort of like just like a crack in the, like a one of the folds in the armor and leather that he wears and goes, be a nice souvenir later. You know, get like a nice watch face.
One that
I don't know. I'm feeling sentimental.
One that doesn't destroy worlds.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe you've got the right idea. Get that thing into the sun.
And who's John, going to get it there?
I don't know. How hard can you throw?
Probably not hard enough.
Not hard enough.
Only when
and once I exit the atmosphere, things tend to get a little fuzzy.
You need air too?
I am human.
Only we had someone.
What do they teach you in school?
That you were the... Well, I mean, my striped eagle was a little different than yours, but you were the impenetrable striped, the amazing, fantastic, ultimate striped eagle.
I breathe air. And she's going to turn to Ramon because John is just not making sense right now and say, have you ever seen something like this before?
No. But you're the striped eagle. You need to be able to do this. And I need to be able to do this. You can throw it. Could you, if you had air, Could you fly into space?
In theory, yes.
What if I could get you the air?
Then I would throw this thing into the sun.
Guys, I love this plan.
John, you've seen what Windshear can do.
Yeah?
Could he, like, take all the air from a room?
Yeah. I mean, it was uncomfortable, but I think he did that to us once, right?
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Different time, different set of powers. I mean, I had powers. That was back when I was a superhero. Or whatever.
Yeah. But he can do that.
And you can do that.
Exactly.
You can do what?
I can bring the air with us.
Us?
Not you, John. Good, you should stay.
Good, thanks.
You should definitely stay.
John sits down on like a box. For a second there, I thought you guys were going to say I should go into space.
Do I have influence over you or no?
I think that I'm going to say you do because I think that, I mean, I think we've been doing this enough, but also like last night you probably could have killed me and didn't.
True.
And that's
true.
Definitely, yeah. So yes,
you have influence. Because you're my friend. Like I was very mad, but you're my friend. Yeah.
So you definitely have influence over me.
I might be shifting your labels.
Okay.
Mm.
No, John, you should stay here. Like this is big power stuff.
Mm.
No offense.
For heroes, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, John's a hero, but he doesn't have big powers, and this is big powers. I trust him with anything else, but this is big powers.
I believe
trying
you.
To like shift mundane. No, it'd be shifting savior, which
you can't do.
Yeah. Which is locked, so nothing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think every time you say big powers, John's eye twitches a little bit. But yeah, no, I don't have powers anymore, but like, that's fine. We're here. I'm here. We're doing this. Easy peasy. Nothing's going to stop us. We're just going to destroy that crystal. We got rid of the watch. We'll figure it out.
Okay. But if I die in space,
that's on you, man.
I'm getting tired of this childish.
I will find a way to build a time machine to bring your body back to your family. And then I will save the world for you.
Exactly what I was hoping for.
Can we get on to saving the world already?
That's what we're doing.
He holds a hand out to Striped Eagle and says, John, you should probably leave the room. We shouldn't do this in this lab.
No.
And she's just going to... Where is the crystal? It's still in your hand or a pocket or something?
Oh, I have it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in my hand.
She's going to hold her hand out to you and say, hand it over.
Ooh, that hits real weird. Can I pierce her mask?
Sure.
Nice.
Because I got a weird vibe off of that.
Yeah, me too.
Sure. Go ahead and roll to pierce the mask.
So that is a 7.
Okay.
Thank God.
On a 7 to 9, ask 1.
What do you really intend, or what do you intend to do?
I intend to destroy this if I am able. If I am not able, I will take it away from you.
Okay.
I think Crosswind
either way, you don't get to keep it.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen out loud, right? That was just like...
No.
Yeah.
That's just me reading her.
Yeah. I think Crosswind sees John like hesitating for a second and goes, it's going to work. It'll be one step done. Yeah. One more step done. Two steps in, man.
Yep. Windshear and the Striped Eagle. You guys will get it done. And he's going to just like slap this thing into her hand.
That was unnecessary. And she's just going to grasp her hand around it and walk down the hallway. She's going outside.
Yeah. So we get a panel that like shows them like out in the quad. And Crosswind like looks around and goes, hey, if everybody could just step back a little bit. I'm going to take the air for a little while.
John, make yourself useful and protect the civilians.
John. Hey, if you don't start being nice to my friend, I'm going to stop including you in my awesome plans.
And then you'll do what?
Get it up there myself.
You can fly to the sun?
No, but I can figure it out.
I'd like to
see. I can do more without you than I can do without him.
This is sweet. Is this a weakness? Exposing a weakness?
No, I think I'm spitting in the face of guidance or influence.
Could be that. It's both, but...
I'm never trying to. Go ahead. Because that doesn't just do reject someone's influence. It's anytime I spit in the face of guidance or influence.
Yeah, I think you're definitely doing that.
I rolled a 6.
So what happens on then?
Well, I can't help you because I used
that's
the
a one. Miss.
Great.
Used the
so one. I mark potential.
So she's going to turn around, look down at you with her hands on her hips and the stone clasped in one of them and say, look, Ramon, I like you. I understand that you have potential, but you are still a child and you're acting like it. Grow up. Do your job. Let's get this done.
And should I mark a condition? That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, insecure, absolutely. So she's going to walk out into like the middle of this open place. She's going to put one hand on her hip, put the crystal in the other hand, and shoot it straight up to the sky. So it's a very superhero-y position. And then her head goes to the sky. And she goes, tell me when.
Ramon walks next to her and, like, hooks his arm with hers and just looks around at everybody, like, just, like, the people, like, held back, breathes in deeply once, and you just, like, see him viewing himself as Windshear. You see him thinking through Windshear being this very bad person and him trying to be better, but him needing to pull so deeply. And so I'm going to mark guilty. Which lets me roll plus savior instead of plus freak in order to unleash my powers. And I'm just going to grab all the air in the area we're in and just hold it with us while we go into space.
Awesome. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
This is a much better roll for me to... Oh my god, finally. That's a 6 and a 5 plus Ooh. 3.
Nice.
Nice!
And technically, I take -2 from being hopeless, but that still is an 11.
Awesome. So you 12, do it. What does this look like? So you have sort of your arm hooked under her arm or something?
Yeah. And so like at first, it looks like he's going to be able to be like super heroic with her, but he can't fly. And so like it ends up with him kind of trailing behind her. Holding onto her wrist, and she's just like flying up into the air, and we just see like we see basically like this cloud of air just going up with them, and just like this circle around them that kind of like starts to shape into a more oblong shape as they're coming into the atmosphere. Because she can fly through this, right?
Absolutely. And you start to see the flames on the side of the air pocket as they exit the atmosphere.
Yeah, so like normally in a comic that's like really tight to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, there's some space around them.
It's a bubble.
And there's just like Ramon's head is just like held like tightly. Like you can see that you can't see his neck, but you can see that he's just like straining so hard to hold this together.
And Striped Eagle is also straining, but she's a lot more composed and with a lot. She has just a lot of inner strength. So she's working towards getting you both there. And we get this awesome 2-page spread panel of the sun and the earth they've left behind and these two little figures floating close to the sun. And she's going to haul back and throw that crystal as hard as she can into the sun.
We need to get back. I can't hold this much longer.
We need to see this through. And you're going to watch it until it hits the surface of the sun. And you know it does because it goes poof. And there's like a purple mushroom cloud where it has hit the sun. And then
you get a panel that shows like Ramon has his arm over his face, like over the mask of his face. And there's just like the purple light flying by.
Mm-hmm. And the reflection of the mushroom cloud is in Striped Eagle's eyes. She watches the entire thing without blinking. And once she's satisfied that it's done, she starts to turn around and head back to Earth.
We get a scene of John leaning against the back of a bench in the university campus somewhere, and he has like pulled up his phone and he's looking at the video of Striped Eagle trying to crush the watch, and he clicks the like share button and he goes to share it with Alina and then stops and then like closes his phone and like shields his eyes and looks up at the sun to see if he can. There's like a little like purple spot suddenly, and then it disappears, and he's looking for his friends to come back.
And the panel is like these two dots that grow in size through a couple of panels, and they land on the ground next to you, and Striped Eagle lands on 2 feet very gracefully. And how's Ramon holding up?
He's on the ground. He is just like he has his arms wrapped really tightly around his own torso. And he's just like squeezing as hard as he can. Okay. And he just like gasps out, pressure, need pressure. John, push on my head, please, quick.
John is going to come over and like give him a hug. And then kind of like where he's got his arms behind his back and they're like, this is just hugging for a moment. And then he kind of like reaches up and grabs his head and tries to like squeeze it, I guess.
Yeah, and there's like a couple of panels that Crosswind is just like gasping and not like clearly like trying to get enough air into him and not succeeding. And like one of his hands goes up to his mask again and he's like clawing at the filter on the front of it. And then just like John gets his hands on his head and is squeezing it really tight, and he stops and just like manages finally to get like 2 like really good breaths of air. And like grabs onto John's arm and goes like, okay, yeah.
You good? You good, buddy?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yep.
You good?
Oh, God.
Don't go to space. I was wrong. That was a bad idea.
No, that looks like a good idea. It worked. That hurt a lot. But it's done. Step 2. Check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good work. Both of you.
And you.
Thanks.
She's going to walk up to both of you where you're standing next to each other and put one hand each on each of your shoulders and say, you're both going to be great heroes someday. And she's going to turn to you, John, and say, you still have that phone?
You mean my phone?
Yes.
John's going to
turn it on.
John will pull out his phone.
And she's going to walk over to there's a flagpole nearby.
Oh, yeah, there is.
And she's going to grab it with one hand, yank it out of its stand, and bend it into a boomerang and throw it towards this, just throw it into space.
Oh, damn.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I think.
Did it look cool?
Yeah. You're going to be a good hero someday.
I've been a good hero.
That's like
the But hero. Thanks. And she's going to walk up to you guys, and you hear a whoosh, 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 and she's going to catch the flagpole in one hand, like really badassly, and then just sort of drop it and say, do you know anywhere we could get something to eat? I'm pretty hungry.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta go to Dynamite Jack's.
Yeah, but like, if you ruin things for us there, like, I'm gonna be angry. I'm still gonna work with you, but I'm gonna be mad.
John's gonna turn to the Striped Eagle and be like, yeah, don't ruin things there for us.
I don't intend to. Could go for a nice malt. And you guys are all gonna turn and start to walk together toward the direction of Dynamite Jack's. And we turn the page to see the 3 backs of the 3 heroes walking away. We see like the black outlined figure of Crosswind confidently walking next to the striped eagle with a cape flying, and John next to her walking confidently and strongly and feeling a little bit more worthy in this trio of heroes that just destroyed this very important thing. And as you're walking away, we also see closer to the panel, as if this figure is closer to the reader and you guys are walking away from us, we see the outline of a man in a lavender suit with his hands in his pockets. And the last panel of the comic is just the bottom half of his face with a smirk.
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city. We'll publish a few every issue with a response from our editors. Magpie Mirror Test writes, Centurion is a hero who appears to have been a hero for a long time, although it's unclear if it's been the same Centurion for this entire period. Usually Centurion has been referred to with they-them pronouns. Is this because they are looking to hide their identity as much as possible, or do they have a non-binary gender identity? Has this answer been different for the various people who held the Centurion mantle? Well, Magpie, Centurion is a much-beloved hero from the Silver Age. Although we have never seen the face under that armored helmet, it has been heavily implied that the shield and mantle of Centurion have been carried by more than one person. So certainly answer to their gender identity would be unique to each of the people who carried the mantle, if it has been more than one. Perhaps someday we'll find out more about the person or people who choose to fight so hard to protect our Protean City.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This episode was emceed by me, Elsbeth Denman, and I can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at And the Meltdowns. Windshear is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.